One of my favorite poets is named R.S. Thomas. He was a priest and a poet in Wales in the 20th century. He served five parishes in Wales starting about 1940. And a lot of his poems are about the presence of God, but also about the absence of God. And I want to read to you a poem in which he is sitting in an old stone church after all the people have left, and he's trying to listen to God. It's called In Church. Often I try to analyze the quality of its silences. Is this where God hides from my searching? I have stopped to listen after the few people have gone, to the air recomposing itself for vigil. It has waited like this since the stones grouped themselves about it. These are the hard ribs of a body that our prayers have failed to animate. Shadows advance from their corners to take possession of places the light held for an hour. The bats resume their business. The uneasiness of the pews ceases. There is no other sound in the darkness but the sound of a man breathing, testing his faith on emptiness, nailing his questions one by one to an untenanted cross. The question he's asking is God present in the silence? Where is God? In our Old Testament lesson from Exodus today, Moses has led the people out of slavery in Egypt into the across the Red Sea into the desert, and they have come to a place where there is no water, to Rephidim. And the people complained to Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt anyway? Just to kill us with thirst, and our children and our livestock and everything? Is God among us or not?" Which is a pretty good question. Is the Lord among us or not? Kathleen Norris is a spiritual writer and a poet. And she and her husband, who is also a poet, moved to a little town in South Dakota so they could have more time and leisure to write. And it worked out pretty well for them, but there were times they found when they had what you call writer's block, when it seems like nothing comes, the muse is not speaking to you, and the words are not coming. They'd pass each other in the kitchen, and one would say, "I used to be a poet." The other would say, "I used to be a poet too." And Kathleen Norris said that a writer's block is an awful lot like the spiritual dryness we find sometimes in our spiritual journey. And as she was reading back through the writings of the monks of the 3rd and 4th century, she found a monk named Evagrius who talked about something called acedia. Acedia is spiritual dryness. It's what happens in the spiritual journey when God just doesn't seem to be present. And she is called the noonday demon, is what the monks called it. And she read a monk named Evagrius in the 4th century, and here's what he said. "It makes it seem as if the sun barely moves, if at all, and the day is 50 hours long. Boredom tempts the monk to look constantly out the windows, to walk outside the cell, to gaze carefully at the sun to determine the dinner hour." This acedia is also known as apathy or boredom or listlessness. And it's just part of the spiritual journey. Even the greatest saints have periods of acedia, of dryness, of being in the desert, of feeling like God is just not there. Is God among us or not? There was an atheist who had a dream, and his dream was that he had died and he was going to heaven. And on the way up to heaven, he began to worry that God was going to meet him at the gates of heaven and judge him for all his sins. And he got to the gate of heaven and God was not there. And he woke up and he was a little disappointed. There was no God there, even though he was an atheist. In the Exodus story, God hears the cries of the people when they are in slavery in Egypt, and he brings them out of slavery across the Red Sea, and he's going to bring them to the Promised Land. It's the great story of the Old Testament that we hear over and over again, and it's the theme of the Jewish people, that God hears the cries of his people and delivers them out of slavery into freedom. And we've been hearing that story the last several weeks as our Old Testament story. In today's story, they are in the desert. They are going to spend 40 years wandering in the desert. God is going to test them in the desert. And one of the ways he does it, does that testing, is by providing them water. They have no water, and so they complained to Moses, and Moses complains to God. He says, well, what am I going to do with these people? They're about to stone me. And God tells Moses, take the elders of the people and go ahead of the people and take your staff with which you cross the Nile, across the Red Sea, and I will be standing there before you in front of a rock. Take your staff and strike the rock, and water will come out of the rock. And Moses does it, and the water comes out of the rock to give the people drink. Even when we think God is absent, God is there. Sometimes we learn more about the presence of God when God seems absent. When Jesus met a woman at a well, he said, I will give you living water. In other words, I will give you spiritual refreshment. Jesus said, those who believe in me will never thirst. For us, Jesus is the rock, and he is the one who gives us spiritual refreshment, the living water. Last week I was visiting my mother for my vacation. I spent a week with her, and I had a wonderful time with Mom. She's 97 years old, so I made meals for her so my sister could get away for a week. Had a great time together, and one of the things that was really important to me was praying before every meal. And Mom's a person of prayer, and every morning at breakfast, she prays for her family. And it really touched me, and it made me realize that my mom has been praying for me all my life. And even those times when I was far from God, when I didn't pay any attention to God, when I was anxious, when I was fearful, and when I was depressed, all those times, my mom was praying for me. I was absent from God, but God was not absent from me. I'd like to read you a poem from a poet named Killian MacDonald. He is a monk, a Catholic monk, and he started writing poetry when he was 75. And this poem is about a priest in a nursing home. The priest is living in the nursing home, and down the hall there is a chapel. And so he's bringing communion to the chapel. It's called Nursing Home Chapel. God lives down the corridor, last door on the left. At 9, I bring the wine pressed from the defiant grapes of 5 and 80 years. For bread, the mud cakes of my days, carefully burnt in the sun. The wheelchair cannot strut, and the brag is gone. But these gifts I lay upon the altar and see God bending over my small mess with infinite delight. Is the Lord among us? Yes, the Lord is among us. Amen.